Ramayan, Part 3, Chapter 2, Part 1. Ravan assembles his ministers in panic. In Lanka, Ravana had assembled his ministers for a full council meeting. Seeing the terrible carnage and destruction wrought by Hanuman, the demon king spoke to his advisors. This city, which we previously thought unassailable, has been penetrated and wrecked by a mere monkey. My gardens are destroyed. Our temple has been outraged, and some of the topmost Rakshasas have been slain, including my own son, Prince Aksha. Indeed, that wretched monkey has single-handedly turned the city upside down. Ravana looked around at his advisors. He asked them to carefully deliberate and then decide on their next course of action. The demon king was apprehensive. He was sure that Ram and his army would somehow or other cross the ocean, not before long. And Hanuman's demonstration of strength and power had been most astonishing. If the rest of the monkeys were like him, yes. Ravana continued, I am depending upon your advice, O Rakshasas. It is said that one who is wise, before undertaking, seeks the counsel of learned persons versed in scripture. However, one who simply acts without due consideration and advice will quickly come to ruin. The demons, kings, generals were all powerful, but they lacked intelligence and political wisdom. Without understanding the full extent and power of the Vanara forces, they spoke of them derisively. The Rakshasas boasted of their own prowess, dismissing Ram and his army as being of no consequence. They reminded Ravan how he had defeated the demigods, Gandharvas, Yakshas, Nagas, Daityas, Danavas, and other foes in battle. Why, Ravana had even repulsed Death himself. What fear could he have of an army of mere humans and animals? One of the mightiest Rakshasas, Prahasta, stood up and with his palms folded, spoke in a voice that boomed like thunder. We were caught unawares by Hanuman, who sneaked into Lanka. Had I been prepared for him, then that monkey would not have left this city alive. Indeed, I can sweep the entire globe clean of all monkeys in no time at all. My lord, simply command me. Then another powerful Rakshasa, named Virupaksha, stood up and spoke furiously, holding aloft his frightful iron bludgeon, which was stained with flesh and blood. How can we tolerate this monkey's affront? Order me, and I shall leave this very hour. I will smash Ram and Lakshman with my iron club and crush the entire monkey army. Even if they flee into the dreaded deep or take refuge in the heavens, they shall not escape my wrath. One Rakshasa suggested that they employ trickery, disguising themselves as humans and thus infiltrating Ram's army. They could pretend to be a contingent dispatched by Ram's brother Bharat. Once they entered Ram's army, the rest of the Rakshasas could attack from the air. The Vanara army would then be torn to pieces by a two-pronged assault from both within and without. One after another, each of the leading Rakshasas declared that he alone could defeat Ram and his troops. Ravan should remain peacefully in Lanka. The demon forces would swiftly cross the ocean and annihilate the monkeys before they could even approach the city. Standing together, the Rakshasa generals raised a great tumult in Ravan's assembly hall. They grasped their bows, arrows, spears, pikes, javelins, and iron maces, and asked Ravana for his order to depart for battle. Part 2. Vibhishan tries to counsel Ravana. Vibhishan, Ravana's younger brother, then stood up. As the clamor of the other demons died down, he spoke to Ravan. The wise declare that force should only be used after other methods of achieving one's aim have failed. Furthermore, force is said to be likely to succeed only when the enemy is weaker, devoid of virtue, or condemned by their own adverse fate. Ram is ever alert and possesses boundless might. He is virtue incarnate and is assisted by every divine power. No one knows what is best. No one would counsel an attack upon Ram. The Vibhishan was not like the other Rakshasas. He did not share their inclination for wanton living and violent behavior. Although he was Ravan's blood brother, the Vibhishan was given to meditation and the practice of virtue. He also realized Ram's divine nature. He spoke gravely, intent on his brother's welfare. Have you forgotten how Ram disposed of Kara and his troops? Think carefully about Hanuman's feat in leaping across the ocean and wrecking Lanka. Do not underestimate the power of Ram and his servants. The Vibhishan advised Ravan to give Sita back to Ram, for if he did not do so, then not before long he would witness the total destruction of Lanka. All the heroic Rakshasas would perish like moths entering a fire. Ravan should pursue the path of righteousness if he wanted it all to see his city and his followers survive. Ravana listened to his brothers without comment, but he did not like the Bhishan's advice. But it did make Ravan somewhat circumspect. The demon king then dismissed his assembly, saying he would decide the next day what should be done. The following day at dawn, the Bhishan again approached Ravan. As he passed through the long, wide passageways of Ravan's palace, the Bhishan heard the sound of Vedic hymns being chanted by the Atudans, who were blessing the Rakshasa king so that he might attain victory. The Bhishan knew that Ravan was not going to achieve victory against Ram. The Bhishan had to avert the total devastation of his people, which he now saw as imminent. The Bhishan entered Ravan's chambers and greeted his brother with gentle and soothing words. Ravan glanced over at an ornate golden seat, the Bhishan sat down, looking upon his brother. The Bhishan had studied all the codes of religion. He knew what was right in every circumstance, and he now tendered beneficial advice to Ravana. My dear brother, ever since Sita was abducted, there have been numerous bad omens in Lanka. The sacrificial of fire emits sparks and is enveloped by smoke. The cow's milk has dried up. Horses neigh dolefully, even though well fed and tended. Crows swarm about, uttering harsh cries. Jackals howl ominously day and night. The Bhishan then described many other types of evil portents and again asked Ravan to return Sita to Ram. This action alone will save you and all the other Rakshasas, as well as the city Lanka, from destruction. Even if you find me in some way self-motivated, you should not ignore my advice, for doing so will have terrible consequences. Ravan sat shaking his head. He grunted contemptuously and replied to his brother, "How can Ram stand before me in battle? Under no circumstances shall I return Sita. Today in my council, I shall issue orders for battle." The Bhishan shook his head sorrowfully. It was hopeless. Ravana, his brother, seemed bent upon his own destruction. Part 3. Kumbhakarna admonishes Ravana in the assembly. Ravan dismissed Vibhishan and for a while sat brooding. He had to have Sita. For the last 10 months, he had tried everything to win her over, and he was not going to give up now. If he could only kill Ram, then surely she would be won. But this Ram was no ordinary man. That much was obvious. And if the monkeys were all like Hanuman, then Ravan had a real battle on his hands. But no matter. There was no question of ignominious surrender. A fight to the last was the only thing acceptable. If Ram were a mere mortal man, then Ram would certainly succumb to the might of the Rakshasas. And if Ram were Vishnu himself, well, defeat at the hands of a powerful foe was never shameful. Ravan would not be subdued by any enemy. He would fight. The demon rose up and swept toward his assembly hall, followed by bards who uttered poems in his praise. Coming from his inner chambers, he mounted a golden chariot and sped down the wide road that led to the hall. He was surrounded on all sides by Rakshasas, attired in diversely styled robes and adorned with every kind of jewel. These powerful Rakshasas, capable of contending single-handedly with tens of thousands of warriors, roared loudly. They held their upraised weapons of every sort in their hands. As Ravana and his generals approached the hall, trumpets blared and conch shells blasted. Innumerable kettle drums were beaten as the demon king went through the great doorway into his hall. Ravan strode across the golden floor of the hall toward his crystal throne. That throne was spread with the skins of the Priyaka deer. After taking his seat, Ravan ordered that a full council of war be assembled. Immediately, swift messengers flew off to every part of the city, calling for all the Rakshasa leaders. Hearing Ravan's order, the mighty Rakshasas rushed toward the assembly hall from all directions. Some mounted great chariots, some rode elephants, and others ran on foot. They quickly entered the assembly hall, just as lions might enter a rocky mountain cave. After prostrating themselves before Ravan, they took their seats, each according to rank. As they sat gazing on their ruler's face, they appeared just like the Vasus surrounding King Indra. Vibhishan also took his seat next to Ravan, and that was on a golden throne. When Ravan saw that everyone was present and was sitting silently, he turned to Prahasta and spoke. You should issue orders to ensure that Lanka's defenses are fortified. All four kinds of troops should be made ready, for a great fight is at hand. Prahasta immediately rose and gave orders to his key Rakshasas. Within a short time, he returned to Ravan and said, "It is done." "Ravan, then addressed the entire assembly. All of you know well your duty in all circumstances. My undertakings executed through all of you have never proved futile. I wish to enjoy the royal fortune forever, ruling over Lanka with justice and compassion. However, we now stand threatened by Ram and his army for the sake of Sita, whom I abducted. I cannot part with that lovely lady, smitten as I am by the shafts of love. Although she has not yet submitted to my advances, she has promised me that after 1 year has passed, she will be mine. Therefore, I must by all means repulse Ram's attack. O Rakshasas, tell me if this meets with your approval or not. Ravan lied about Sita. She had never indicated she would accept him at any time. Ravan gazed around the assembly with his 10 heads, looking for his subject's agreement. Except perhaps for Vibhishan, he did not expect that anyone would argue against him. But suddenly, his powerful brother Kumbhakarna stood up in a rage. O Rakshasa, you now seek our counsel. But what advice did you ask when you stole Sita from Ram? Actions taken without due consideration of their righteousness and without recourse to proper counsel lead only to grief. On impulse alone, you abducted Sita from Ram, and now you face a severe consequence. Fortunately, however, you have me as your well-wisher. I shall make good your foolish action by standing against Ram and Lakshman on the battlefield. Give up your fear and rest at ease. Those two human brothers, Ram and Lakshman, will not return with life once they face me. Kumbhakarna was as powerful as Ravan, but he had once been tricked by the demigods into asking a boon from Brahma that he might enjoy 6 months of sleep at one time. Lord Brahma had thus said he would remain awake for only 1 day every 6 months. The day of the council happened to be his 1 day of wakefulness. The following day, he would again fall into a deep slumber. He was nevertheless devoted to his brother and prepared to do whatever he could to help him. Kumbhakarna was wise. He knew Ram was a formidable foe. Kumbhakarna wanted to fight Ram and either attain a glorious victory or, as was more likely, die gloriously at Ram's hands. But first, Kumbhakarna would need to be awakened. Part 4. Robin reveals the secret curse. Although smarting from his brother's admonishment, Robin thanked Kumbhakarna for his support. Then, Mahaparshva, the leader of some of Ravana's troops, stood and asked him a question. My lord, having secured the beautiful Sita, why do you not simply enjoy her by force? Who can prevent you or do anything about it? Ravan then told them all of the long past incident with Rumba. This is a secret I have never revealed. Nalakuvara's curse was reinforced by the words of Lord Brahma himself. Indeed, the powerful creator, upon whom my own strength rests, said that if I ever again violate a woman, my life would end immediately. Ravana then looked around the assembly. The Rakshasas were dedicated to him and ready to fight with any enemy on his behalf. They sat awaiting his command. The Demon King boasted to them of his power. Surely Ram has not seen me in battle, as furious as the raging ocean and as swift as the wind. Otherwise, he would not be so foolish as to march on Lanka. Ram has not seen arrows like flaming serpents with forked tongues loosed in millions from my bow. Ram wants to face death himself, standing enraged on the battlefield. I shall consume Ram in no time. I will disperse his army just as the sun disperses the morning mist. Part 5, Vibhishan rebuked by Indrajit and Ravan. Ravan railed on for some time. When he at last became silent, Vibhishan stood up to speak. He knew it was more or less hopeless. Ravana was already set on battle. But Vibhishan had to make one last attempt to make his brother see sense. Vibhishan's voice echoed around the silent hall as everyone listened to his words. By whom has the immense and highly venomous serpent known as Sita been tied around your neck? That serpent has for its sharp fangs Sita's sweet smiles. Her bosom is its coils. Her five fingers are the serpent's five hoods. And her thoughts of Ram are its deadly poison. O Ravan, do not destroy your race. Before we see monkeys like great mountains bounding toward Lanka and arrows like thunderbolts falling on the heads of our warriors, Return Sita to Ram. The Bhishan tried at length to convince Ravan of his folly. Although the Bhishan was rebuked by various Rakshasas, he insisted that the only way to save Lanka was to return Sita. The Bhishan made it clear that it was his duty as a counselor to tender advice conducive to the interest of his master. The Bhishan would not neglect that duty out of weakness or fear, nor out of a desire to say something pleasing. Even if advice were distasteful, it still should not be given by a counselor who properly understood his duty. And a wise leader was one who was able to hear both palatable and unpalatable advice, giving equal consideration to both. Indrajit became impatient, and he was agitated hearing Vibhishan speak. "How do you call yourself a Rakshasa, oh weak uncle? Surely you are devoid of courage, virility, prowess, heroism, spirit. These two men can be slain by any Rakshasa, even the most insignificant among us. Why then do you tremble in fear?" Indrajit bragged about his own strength. He had overcome hosts of demigods headed by Indra, riding upon the celestial elephant Airavata. Indrajit vowed that he would kill Ram and Lakshman personally. But Vibhishan rebuked him with strong words. "Being a mere boy, your intelligence is not mature. You cannot see what is right or wrong. Dear child, although called the son, you are actually your father's enemy. You are evil-minded, and you deserve to die, for your counsel will lead only to the death of all those who listen to you. You are indiscriminate, dull-witted, wicked, and ignorant. You do not understand Ram's power. There are none among the gods, Daityas, Danavas, or Rakshasas, who can withstand the flaming arrows Ram will shoot in combat." Ravan had heard enough. He would not accept Vibhishan's advice. All he wanted now was to get on with the fight. That fight lay ahead. He spoke furiously. "It is better to live with an enraged serpent than to live with a person who, although pretending to be a friend, is actually in league with his enemy. It is a fact that kinsfolk usually despise their chief, even though he may be carrying out all his duties. The greatest danger lies in one's own relatives, O disgrace of our nation. For they may turn on one at any time. Although a brother, you are unworthy of my affection. Indeed, one bestowing love upon the unworthy obtains only grief. Robin vented his anger, insulting the Bishan in various ways. He told them that he had not been his brother, he would surely have killed him for his words. The Bishan realized that there was nothing he could do to help the proud demon king, his brother, as well as his four ministers, who were his close followers and friends. The Bishan rose up into the air, stationed in space with mace in hand. He spoke to Ravan. You who have addressed me with harsh words, O king, you are deluded. Say what you will, for your intelligence is lost. Those speaking pleasant words can easily be found, O Ravan, but one who speaks unpalatable truth is indeed rare. One fallen under the sway of death does not heed the words of wisdom offered by a well-wisher. I have tried my best, wishing to serve you and save you from certain destruction. Now, be happy in my absence. I can no longer tolerate your abusive speech. Even though you are my elder, farewell. I shall now depart. The Bishan soared away from the assembly hall, accompanied by his four friends. Ravan made no attempt to stop him and was glad to see him go. Now there were none who would oppose his desires. Ravan thus issued orders to prepare for battle.
Feel there was nowhere to turn,
nothing to lose and nothing to earn. Nothing seems to matter and nobody cares. If you died tomorrow, tears wouldn't be spared. It's just a blessing in disguise, just to open up your eyes. So when you feel there's nothing that you can do, Lord Chaitanya comes to you to teach you the glories of the holy name. And from that day on, you never feel the same. It's just a blessing in disguise, just to open up your eyes. This Kali Yuga, what a horrible age. So much misery, everyone's in a rage. There's something good you just don't see. It comes from God, all your misery. It's just a blessing in disguise. Just to open up your eyes. you had no friend in this world. No one to help you when your head's in a swirl. Well, let me tell you that there's many people like you who are lost and confused and don't know what to do. It's just a blessing in disguise, just to open up your eyes. This Kali Yuga, what a horrible age. So much suffering, everyone's in a rage. But there's something good you just don't see. It comes from God, all your misery. It's just a blessing in disguise.